Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Hourglass Bride. We have a special and extraordinary show for you today, and one of my favorite guests. Truly, as we talk about relationships and we talk about love, there's so much to talk about, whether that's a relationship to yourself, to the world on the other side, to the planet, to our colleagues, to our friends, to our families. And today we are talking with Aiden Chase. And Aiden is the psychic to the stars. Imagine that top celebrities, people, world-renowned dignitaries and people from around the world go to Aiden when they feel stuck, when they feel confused, when they're not sure how to move on, or they're not sure the messages that they're receiving. He is a third generation psychic, which means that this has come from lineage, from history, from time he was trained with this as a child, and it's absolutely natural to him. What he hears, what he sees, what he feels, the information that he is able to impart is absolutely astonishing. It is also a very special day because we are doing this show live today from the Martial Arts Hall of Fame Elite Black Belt Camp. And so I am here in Northern California with some of the top black belt and martial artists from around the world. People are here from Uruguay, from Germany, from Switzerland, from everywhere. The skill level is amazing, and I am right outside the ballroom where the black tie event will go on, the awards and the honoring ceremonies from incredible evening planned. And so if you hear in the background bustling or whatever that is, imagine the red carpet right behind me right now. And imagine as we are doing the show, the people that are walking on this red carpet and stepping inside. It's like being at the Academy Awards. Only these are the people. I remember somebody said if you ever wanted to start a new race, that these are the people you'd want to beam up. They're all so fit. They're so healthy. They're so strong. And so imagine as we were talking to Aiden right now, these people just walking behind me and that feeling, that magic of energy, of power, of significance, integrity, honor, all of that. And we have the most extraordinary show and truly my favorite guest of all time. Aiden, welcome to the show.
Hello, Nicole. Thank you for having me. Well, how exciting where you are with people who have mastered life, right?
Yes. Do you know that the art of the martial arts that they're really presenting here is called Seido? And Seido means elite path of mastery.
Wow.
Elite path of mastery. And so if we all could live our elite path of mastery, and even though there are people here from every modality of every martial art, is anything that you've ever seen or thought of or heard, the very creme de la creme, not even 1%, half of 1% of the top martial artists in the world are here right now. And then Seido, which is being taught here at the Elite Black Belt Camp to all of the top martial artists, they're all being taught the elite path to mastery, and that is the energy here right now.
Amazing. And they're getting to go to their next level and even farther and farther, as we all are, which is so amazing.
Oh, you know, we've talked on several of the shows right now, and your bio just goes on and on and on from all of the people that you have helped, not just individuals, but huge mega companies and corporations. You've helped people in the movie industry be able to pick what scripts and their businesses and change people's lives and abundance. And so for those that are new to your work, I would love to just get a little background in how you began, because it's such an extraordinary life. We all want to live our happily ever after. That's what this
show
is about. How do we live happily ever after? And it seems that you started on a very young path to happily ever after. And I would love to hear a little bit about that.
Absolutely. I am a third generation healer and intuitive. So what does that mean, right? Well, my family lineage on my mother's side were healers and intuitives. They had that little extra bit of wisdom in the town that maybe other people didn't have. They are more plugged in to, we say, the other side, the collective consciousness, their own soul wisdom, maybe, that they can bring through information that can help guide people or give them a roadmap to that fairy tale life, shall we say, or even not as far as a fairy tale life, helping people to connect to their own inner truth and their own inner wisdom and give them confirmations to help guide them on their path to that fairy tale, even if they're not there yet. So about 100 years ago, my family did this not as an occupation, but as a calling. And before doctors, before technology, there always was somebody in the village somewhere, anywhere in the world, any culture around the world, where there was somebody who had the herbs or that extra sense or that foresight. And when people saw that it worked, they would then go seek them out. And that was something about my family. And it was been really forgotten the last 100 years because technology came and doctors and instrumentation and all of that. But in the last 20 years, and especially the last 5 years, there has been a total opening of a door or a resurgence back to that 100 years ago. And it's not that people are forgetting technology or doctors or therapists. It's that they want to find within themselves answers versus relying outside of themselves. And that's something that I have always had the ability of doing, even at age 4, 5, and 6, and even starting in first grade, is knowing things that other people didn't know, and I didn't quite understand that other people didn't know what I knew, but very soon when I got to first grade, I understood they didn't. And the whole idea of having imaginary friends are really not figments of your imagination, but actually spirit who are coming to communicate with you. And as little kids, we all have the ability to communicate with the other side, see passed on relatives or spirits or, you know, other beings that want to present themselves. And because we're so close from being born to being on the other side, and the younger we are, the more in tune we are, or more open, or more natural it is for us to connect. And then once we start going to school and getting out in the world, we're told to it's our imagination, it's not real, it's not connecting, or we want to meld ourselves with society so we don't continue those abilities. Some kids do, like me. Lots of kids do. They just might not talk about it. And like me, I just always held it. I always knew it. But for many years, I decided not to talk about it to fit in. And then at one point, I went, this is who I am. This is my occupation. This is what I choose to do. And I move forward with it.
Wow, that's absolutely brilliant. And you touched on something that I would really love to talk about. And that is when you were saying about in generations past, come to the medicine person, or they would come to the person with the knowledge of the herbs. And we used to live in a society, in a village society, where everyone would take care of everybody else, where we would all watch the children
exactly.
as the children played. And there were elders that we would go to for answers, and medicine
right.
people that we would go to for healing. And now as our society is dissipated and we have these latchkey kids and we're on our computers and we go to Google if we have a question.
Right.
We go to Yahoo if we want to know, you know, what we do for a headache or a cold or whatever that is. And so how then in our own families or in our own relationships and our own lives can we get back to that village feeling or the impact of the knowledge and the wisdom coming from generations here and also generations in the past or the future?
Absolutely. It's really about being your own village in a lot of ways, being able to center yourself so you can bring through your own information. I think there's twofold to this question. One is we've moved into a time, once we cross into 2013, where we become co-creators of our lives and our futures. It used to be, it was almost like a contract was made, like you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to be a martial artist, and that was your path. And what's really shifted about that is you might have an innate ability to do that, but now we have the ability to adjust it, to co-create it, to change it, to grow it, to transform it. And that's what happened in 2013, which is really amazing, this new vibration that is expanding on the planet for co-creation. And why did that happen? Well, I believe enough people on the planet are enlightening themselves. They're meditating. They're praying. They're healing themselves, mind, body, and spirit. And that vibration shifts and adjusts our planetary vibration, which then allows the planet to rise or ascend to a higher state of consciousness. So then our collective experience becomes more conscious, more co-creating. And I believe this time on our planet of this co-creation has really not occurred ever before that I understand, at least in the last several thousands of years. And so we are now playing around with this experience of the balance between within ourselves, receiving all the information we need from our own soul, our own collective consciousness within ourselves of our past lifetimes, our current lifetimes, our knowledge and our wisdom, the belief structures of others versus our own belief structures that were formed and edited and created. And so within that, we are also working within the village. And it does take a village. It does take everyone else to participate. We are not automatons. We are not loners. And we're not robots, even though technology is making us into that a little bit right now. But it does take the village to understand who we are and where we want to go as a collective. So it's twofold. It's connecting to the village in this new refreshed, or shall I say, old-fashioned way, the Little House on the Prairie way, shall we say, where the community saw each other, supported each other, and helped raise each other up. Right now, we're in a society mostly where people are not rising each other up. They're trying to take to rise themselves up. And that's what needs to change right now. And when it comes to relationships, it's about us moving together in a partnership with somebody where we raise each other up.
Wow, that's such a beautiful answer. Thank you for that. Because I think that there's a longing in our hearts to, you know, to do that, to help others, to share with others. And it's natural when you see a child on the playground fall, whether it's your child or not, to go make sure that they're okay or to answer questions. It's the most natural thing in the world. And as we talk about relationships, because on this show over the past few years, we've talked about all kinds of relationships. We've talked about step-parenting, combining families. We've talked about grief, losing spouses or loved ones. We talked about stepping in to marriage for the first time, or people who've been raped or abused and trusting love, or if you've been married 3, 4, 5 times, how do you make this work? And so we've gone through the gamut of the highs and the lows and the heartstrings and the joys of relationships, but we've never talked about our relationship to the other side.
Exactly, exactly.
And
how important it is for us to heal ourselves, to be connected to it.
And so can you talk about, because do we have relationships with the other side?
Absolutely. I think we're far more connected than we all realize. You know, sometimes people will get signs. You know, because I'm an intuitive, I'm a healer, I'm a psychic, which is clairvoyant, clairaudient, and clairsentient, I can see things like a movie version of someone's life or of a scene. I can hear things like an audio message, as my grandmother said, like a little birdie told me. Or you can feel things, that sensation in your body. When you go in a strange room, you feel like, ooh, something happened here and your hair stands up. Your body is reacting and giving you information and data about that experience. I think more and more people are experiencing more of those signs, those symbols that are indicating that there's more out there than just our physical existence, that there's angels and guides and spirit guides and spirits of the past and past on relatives who all are present and around us at all times, although on another upper dimensional, interdimensional scale. But they're present with us at all times. And it's the separation or that experience, whether it's society or religion or cultures or countries or laws, that cause the separation. I always say the problem in the world are boundary lines of countries. That's what's causing all the problems. And if we didn't have that and we understood how one we are, we wouldn't have all this trouble. So when it comes to relationship with the other side, it's knowing that there really isn't a boundary there. There's really no veil or boundary, and that we can really get quiet, close our eyes and breathe, and tune in instantaneously to anyone we wish to connect to. It could be a passed-on loved one, and they will come right to us. Because quantum physics says, where intention goes, energy flows. That's the basic, my definition of it. So if we think about our grandmother, and we say, grandmother, come to me, bring me information, or just allow me to feel your presence, it will happen. And the more we practice it, the more we tune into it, the more we allow it, the more we get rid of fear or our own blockages, the more we can connect and feel with that. It's interesting. I have people come from all over the world wanting to tune into loved ones or their future or their higher self. And I say, well, it's great you've come to me, but I want to teach you that you can do it for yourself. It's important that we become our own healer or our own psychic, where we can tune in to receive our own information from our inner self, or our gut feeling is our soul feeling, or also be able to tune into the other relationships that could be someone, your mother that died years ago, that you wish to have that connection now. And actually, what's so interesting is when you're in spirit on the other side, whether you've been human or not human, whether you're an angel or a passed on loved one, we can connect to them and they can bring us actually more love, more wisdom, more guidance than they could have even when they were alive. Because when we're alive, we've decided to incarnate and come to planet Earth to have this physical experience and this density and the stress and this turmoil of the world and the beauty and the love, too. I believe we come here to learn about love in all things. And so if we come here to learn about love, we can tune in and receive that love. So by connecting to the other side, they are absolutely able to bring that through to us. And they don't have the binds of this dense planet, of the heaviness, the energy, the blockages, the doubts, the fears. They've ascended to the next state, and they can bring through their wisdom and guidance from their lifetime, as well as when we cross to the other side, we know the oneness of the universe, of love, of pure love, and we look at where we learned about love, missed out about love, failed about love, and we can bring that wisdom and that energy to people who are present here alive in the now.
That's amazing. Now, when you say that, you know, grandma or whatever, you know, come talk to me or I want to feel you, and you say that they, you know, can come to you, in that moment, do they feel you, or are they, like, busy on the other side shopping or doing something?
That's a great
or
question.
Evolving and becoming, yes.
Well, my belief at this time, and that's, you know, 40-plus years of connecting in with this, my belief is on the other side, angels, guides, spirits, pass on loved ones, even ourselves, upper dimensional versions of our soul, are infinite. There's no time on the other side. I think that we can do many different activities, even experience other lifetimes concurrently at the same time. And so we're able to connect to them at any moment, any time, and they're not busy because they're infinite. They can do a billion or infinite things at once. So they're able to connect in all ways, in all those lifetimes, in all those experiences, all those dimensions, instantaneously, all at the same time. So grandma's thrilled to connect if we ask. Here's the most amazing thing. Because of the free will barrier on Earth, we are not, they, meaning spirit guides, passed on relatives, angels, are not allowed to really assist us unless we ask and we give permission. They may rescue us from certain circumstances that aren't part of our path in some ways, but that's about it. So unless we ask for the assistance, unless we give permission for them to cross that free will barrier, they're unable to assist. So I'm always telling people, ask, and ask specifically, and ask 100 times a day, ask for anything, large or small, from the quarter to the park for the parking meter, to the billion-dollar deal, to bringing you a loved one, to helping you heal yourself. They can bring through guidance, energy, information, place new people in front of you, new ideas, a book falls off the shelf and reminds you, you know, things pop in your mind that you're not sure how they popped in. That is them presenting information to guide you to make your life better, to make your relationships better, to make them whole, and moreover, to make your relationship with the other side more connected, more giving, more receiving. And that's so exciting. I love giving that message to know we're not alone in this, that there's layers and layers of energies of guides and angels and spirit beings who are from a high dimension of love and wisdom and intelligence. And it's just really a breath away and a question away for us to be totally connected. Now, we not at first may not feel a complete connection. I think it takes time to build that. You might get like a tingling sensation or a heat sensation or actually feel a presence or see something. That just takes some practice. It's like building a muscle. And over time, it shows how we're here just to learn, and we're here to learn about love, how to give and receive it, in relationships and for ourselves. And it's about tuning in to know that there's a grander, more amazing picture of us from lifetime to lifetime, infinitely. And we're just here for this period of time to learn and to not be so stressed, to not be so scared, not feel so alone, because this is just a blip in the infinity of our soul's experience. And understanding that can kind of calm and soothe. And at the same time, know that we're not alone in all this, and we're here to learn about love.
That's such a great answer. And then I want to love to expand on something you said there. When you were saying that maybe a book would fall off a shelf, is there a way that we can ask before someone is passing and saying, if you come back or when you come back, can you ring a bell or can you make a book fall or can you turn on the TV or how will you communicate or how will I know it's you? Is there a way to ask before they leave or is there a way to know that it's them when we are getting signs?
Absolutely. We can do both and all. I had actually, before my dad passed about 4 years ago, we said, okay, find a way to communicate with me. And what he did, I was open to it because on the other side, they have to practice. You know, passed on relatives have the ability to adjust electricity. They're able to manipulate it, and it takes them time to practice it. And my dad would flash a little light very, 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 very subtly. And I thought, is that him? And is he practicing? And I didn't really have that confirmation, but I had the belief, the knowing and the understanding that he was trying to connect. We just didn't know if that was him yet. And then I had a chandelier in my dining room with all those little light bulbs. There's like 12 light bulbs. And over time, about 6 months later, there seems to be an orientation period of them learning what they need to learn. I should say 6 month in earth time feel. And then about right at 6 months, you know, one of the light bulbs started to flash. And then over time, it was many light bulbs. And then about 3 months later, it was like almost full Morse code. It was like yes for one, flash once for yes, flash two for no. And over time, we built a relationship based on how we could figure out how to communicate. That being said, we could always communicate in our dreams. A great way to do it, a fun thing to practice and play with, is take something of that person, if you have it, or their photo, and wrap it in something purple. I don't know why this is. It's an ancient, ancient technique. I think it's even from Egyptian times. By wrapping something of that person in purple and placing it by your bed and say, okay, please come through in my dream and let's have a conversation in my dreams. So many of my clients have these amazing clearings, understandings, resolutions, and just beautiful, loving moments of sharing with that person. And it's totally possible.
Wow. And even would just a photograph work?
Sure, sure. Anything of that person, even if you painted a picture of that person, just that energy of how you feel about that person or some object, even better, something metal if you have it, like a piece of jewelry or something. Metal seems to connect more easily vibrationally. Their energy field is on that. And it seems to be an easier way for us to contact. And then in your dreams, you can practice building that muscle of communication. And the first time it might feel a little vague or confused because you're both trying to figure out how to communicate. And over time, you'll get used to it and you'll start finding ways. And then you'll have these most amazing dreams that are so vivid. And usually your loved one or an angel, if you wish, will come through looking about 35 or 40. Usually they're prime. They usually present themselves looking like themselves, even though they are energy now. They'll present themselves to you so you understand who they are and give you a feeling of who they are and show themselves at a very vigorous, young, fresh at their prime. So you know that they're not about their sickness anymore. Once we pass, that's dissolved away. It's just a lesson about love. And they're not about their crime. They're not about what they did wrong or how they weren't good or weren't a good parent or were a bad friend or whatever the issue was is cleared when we move to the other side. And so it's not to be afraid of that. It's to know that they can come through from their new, upgraded, understood about everything they learn, need to learn about love on this lifetime, what they missed out. And from that new, infinite, all-universal, loving knowledge space, they can bring through their personality, their love they have for you, and communicate with you.
Absolutely love that. Thank you.
And it's
that.
Fun and exciting.
Oh, it's
you know, I have a new newsletter.
Yes.
Go ahead, Nicole.
No, well, while you're talking about that, I was just going to ask you another question, but I love your newsletter. So please
share
with our
audience
about your newsletter. Yes.
that, I have a monthly free newsletter. Everyone's welcome to sign up for it on aidanchase.com. There's a little tab that says free newsletter. And this month, October, is Halloween, right? And a lot of people have fears about spirits and ghosts, and I wanted to write a newsletter, an article, about how we don't need to be afraid. Very few percentage of spirit on the other side are negative in any way. It's very, very small. And yet Hollywood has expanded to seem like it's 95% versus 1 or 2%. And I wanted to let everyone know that it's safe to connect, it's safe to feel things, and know that most of the time, I'm going to say 95% of the time, it's about love. And if we have protection tools of knowing what to do in a situation and guidance, we'll be okay. And we can, if we have good tools, we're safe. And so I presented a newsletter this month, and it describes all about that. Ghosts versus spirits, what that means, how to communicate, and if there is a bump in the night, how to make a great self-loving protective barrier so you can get them out of there. But very, very rare.
That's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great. Now I have a whole series of relationship questions for you.
Great.
So when you meet somebody and you feel like you've known them before, could they have been your husband, your wife, your mother? Is there karma or contracts that we come back and do that love again?
I think that there used to be karma and contracts. My feeling right now, I don't have this fully confirmed for myself, but I feel like that karma from past lifetimes is over. I think if you were alive 20 years ago, you were experiencing that. I think if you're alive 10 years ago, you're experiencing that. But it's really shifted and changed. I'm having people come by in sessions that say, I met this new person, it was just for a second, and I felt like I knew them for always, but I just had a moment with them. And what's happened is you might have had to reestablish a relationship with someone you may have had a past life with. And usually we stay in the same circle of about approximately 50 souls from lifetime to lifetime. And that's why we feel so connected to certain people and not as connected to other people. Some people are more at the distance or the periphery of it. So we may run into somebody, one of those 50, shall we say, from a previous lifetime where we had amazing, positive, or negative experience with, and we see them, and it's about reconnecting that energy. It's not about fixing it or fixing karma or letting it go as much anymore, especially since we crossed into that 2013 point, but it's about knowing that this lifetime is its own lifetime. This lifetime of where we are right now is to be more of a full expression of who we are. No, we're not in a really dark, deep Middle Ages places where we didn't have freedom to do things. And sure, there's lots of places in the world that aren't there, but there's always the ability. I would say where there's darkness, there's just lesser light that has the potential to be full light. And so it's important to really remember that within your heart, you can really connect and tune in to those past lifetimes. But we don't need to re-experience them. We don't need to re-examine them. Sometimes someone will come for a session and they'll say, oh, I have a terrible fear of flying. And I may bring through, oh, well, you were in a plane crash in 1930. And so they go, oh, okay. And usually when we hear about a past lifetime or a relationship with someone from a past lifetime, we can clear that issue within ourselves about it now. And I would say if in a session a past life information comes, it's there to clear it so we can move forward. So we don't necessarily need to re-experience that drama, trauma with a person in this lifetime. We could just recognize them and see them. I would say that with dogs. You ever notice dogs? Talk about a village. They will act as they all know each other, and they will sense each other, and they will sense each other from smell, and they will sense each other from vibration. And it's kind of our same idea. We will sense people, but it doesn't mean we have to reconnect and re-experience a trauma to learn in this lifetime. It's just not necessary anymore, which is so exciting.
That's fabulous. Wow, I love that. And then along that line, we hear the expression very often, twin flames. This person is my soulmate or my twin flames. Can you talk about that?
Well, my feeling of soulmates is I believe we have many soulmates. Some soulmates we might have a reconnection with at a Starbucks for 7 minutes, or someone you live with for a lifetime. It can be both. And we all know when you meet someone, and it's not that you don't like them. It's not that you don't like how they look, or that you don't like their job or their belief structure. Sometimes we just don't connect to people. There is a vibrational difference where we just don't align. Other times, it's like even if they have total belief structure, not a look we prefer, or some reminds us of something negative, and yet we feel this deep connection and we don't know why. We can investigate, but we don't have to investigate all the time. I think in the 80s, in the 70s, there's a confusion through media and television about love. If you feel a sparkle, doesn't mean that you have to invest in a full relationship. If you have a sparkle, there needs to be compatibilities and all those other things. So it's knowing that you can have a magical, special moment with someone for 7 minutes at a Starbucks that you run into, or you can have an experience with them for a lifetime. Now, when it comes to the twin flame, you know, it's interesting about that. I'm not quite sure on that yet. I think it changes and it shifts for me. A twin flame could be another version of yourself that you're experiencing. You know, souls can be multidimensional, multi-experiential. Or I think it's just another description of twin flame could be someone that you're so cosmically connected to that maybe you experience each other in an upper dimensional level or a higher level of consciousness that match each other. It's like pieces of a puzzle fitting. So I'm not quite sure about the twin flame right now. I think it's growing and shifting and changing and amplifying. So we'll wait and find out.
I love that. I love in 7 minutes in Starbucks, you could have this great relationship with somebody.
You could have a lifetime of love exchanged in 7 minutes. It's about seeing and connecting with someone on the deepest, most truthful level. And it doesn't mean you have to experience that and work on it and have a relationship with them, whether it's friend or love, for 20 years to really get into it because you had that amazing, true, loving moment. We could just log it as that.
Gosh, this is just the best information, Aidan. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
and I know
pleasure.
That many people, thank you. I know many people listening to the show have children because we talk about step-parenting and we talk about combining families and we talk about childbirth and videotaping the childbirth and moving, you know, real estate, moving to an area for children. But we hear the expression today, indigo children, or children that come in with past knowledge or past lives,
right,
or they're so much more advanced. And I would love to touch on that because I think that's a subject we never talk about. But obviously,
right,
there are these very special children on the planet.
Well, what I believe is we pick our parents before we're born. I believe we're spiritual beings that know everything of the universe, like I said, all about love from a very heightened and ascended place. And we just say, hey, I'd like to go to that planet Earth, the only place that you go into physical density in such a way when you forget everything about the universe, almost everything, before you actually go into that egg or that embryo and are born. And so we choose our parents. So it could be the saint, it could be the sinner, it could be the good guy, it could be the serial killer. And we choose that path through that person's experience about love previous, their beliefs, their programming about it, whether it's cultural or religious or familial. And they choose somebody to come through their eyes, through their experience, both parents or one, to have your lessons about love. Sometimes higher dimensional people are coming in, I should say souls, are coming in to be catalysts for the planet. They see that this is the most transformational time ever on the history of the planet energetically, and they want to come here and play in the game and feel it. And so they made these babies being born, I have to tell you, most of them, I'm saying a huge percentage, I don't know what the percentage is, I'm calling power babies. They're coming in with this higher enlightened knowledge that they didn't have to learn on this planet. They kind of came in with it. And so they're picking parents, you know, good and bad, to come through. But what I'm finding is people who have done their work, mind, body, and spirit, to heal themselves and rise themselves to the best person they could possibly be, these baby spirits are coming in who are here to change the world because they know having that love support, encouraging them, it will allow them to do their job, their mission that they see fit on this planet. Whether it's healing, changing the world, changing politics, changing food systems, creating more love, more peace. You know, I have a client who has a child. It was what I call a power baby. I met before, actually came into the body, met while in the body, and then met after he was actually born. And when he was 5 years old, he actually turned to his mother with this exact vocabulary and said, "Mommy, you're not following your dreams. You need to follow them." That's the kind of babies being born. And now the designation of what they're calling, I don't know if there's an official word, but a lot of people are calling them crystal children or rainbow children. That's the current babies from probably about 8 or 10 to 0 just being born. And then the previous ones were called indigo children. And indigo children were like scouts. They came in the 70s and 80s to scout it out, to send information back for those higher dimensional baby spirits, those power babies, to learn or prepare the way for them. And so they were usually called anxious or ADD or cranky or fussy or all these words because they didn't quite fit here because the planet wasn't ready for them. The vibration didn't raise, the consciousness, the enlightenment of others on the planet hadn't raised up to the state where they can fit in well enough. So they were labeled as autistic and ADD and hyperactive and all these words, or freaks or geeks or all these words. And what they were was just here a little earlier, and they were unable to fit in that lower, denser vibration. So now that the vibration of the planet has raised, because we've all done a lot of work on the planet, we've all let a lot of things go and healed a lot, and also a lot of energies come and beamed onto the Earth from our sun, from angels, from guides, adjusting the planet and its trajectory to a more loving and holistic place. And so these babies are coming in because it's safe and people are ready for them. And it used to be people would say, oh, you know, in the 70s or 80s, what are you talking about, kids, saying you follow my dreams? That's weird. And now people are willing to listen and make changes. And it will be very fascinating to see in the next 10 to 15 years how our world changes with these power babies, these power souls, growing up from a higher energetic, a higher place of love that they came in this way, and how it transforms our own lives, people who were born way before that, and makes the world a better place, a place of peace and harmony and calm and wholeness.
What a magical answer, because you just always wonder, and there are all these shows now that talk about these power babies or these kids with special powers, or you right. and I have talked about that you were like the real live example and living Harry Potter, because even right. as a child you had extraordinary skills and talent, as you still do, which have developed and you've now mastered, and you're helping, you know, people all around the world. But what was that like for you as a child?
Well, it was quite amazing, and I knew I had these skills and abilities to use energy, to move it, to adjust it, to shift it. And it's not just levitation or, you know, it's not a Harry Potter wand. There's no spells involved. That's why I love the Harry Potter series. People can think it's dark. They can think it's light. It's based on old belief structures. But what I really think about it is about the hero. It's about that love conquers all. It's about those friends in Harry Potter work together to get rid of darkness or sadness or pain or thoughtlessness and come to a place of thought, a place of peace, and a place of village, of community, of friendship, of brotherhood, sisterhood, and to change the world. So what it's done in the last 15, 20 years, however long it's been, 15 years, it has transformed the planet. It's opened people's minds to energy that we can shift and adjust things, that we don't have to be a victim of negativity or darkness or our own past, that we can rise above it, we can change it, and we can use our own love to transform things. Because I believe, what is healing? Healing to me is love that's alive. And it's kind of like when you're a little kid and your mom may wipe your brow when you're not feeling well. Well, she's sending her love energy, her heart energy, from her heart down through her arm, into her hand, and into your forehead, healing you. Whether it's intentional or unintentional, it is intended for love, to make you feel better. Sometimes it makes you feel completely healed. Sometimes it makes you feel a little better. But what it is it's connecting. It's tuning into love. I call it the living love because I believe it's like love that's alive. It's that spark that makes our heart beat, that spark that makes a baby conceive. That is what healing is to me. And we can send it anywhere. We can send it to a person. We can send it to a building. We can send it to an idea. We can send it to a movie script. We can send it to anything to help transform it, because everything's energy. And like I said earlier, quantum physics states where intention goes, energy flows. So we put beautiful intentions and we send it out with our thoughts, with our heart-centeredness, we can transform anything. The same goes with doing it negatively. You can create negativity. You know all those people who say, oh, I can't, I won't, or I shouldn't, or all those words like that. Well, they're sending that energy to that versus believing that it can be really great. So I had that as a little kid. I don't think it is what it was, what it is now, and I don't think I was able to use my skills and abilities, but I held it within myself, knowing that it would be a time and a place where it would be of value. I didn't know how it would be of value, but I also know in the 80s it wasn't smart to tell everybody because people weren't ready. But now people are open and ready thanks to movies and culture and society and, you know, new belief structures that are not as bound by religious dogma or structure, that we can find the core and the love with all of it, but not allow things to limit us or judge us when we're trying to be in a state of love and harmony.
Such a great answer. It's interesting when you talk about Harry Potter opening the doorways or the pathways or the gateways for this kind of energy, because I always think about the Little Prince and
right.
how the rose was alive and the fox and the tree. And I think about movies like E.T. that teach us to love those that don't look like us, whether it be another culture or
exactly.
another race.
Or it's preparing
or
us for connection to other side. Yeah.
Yes, and even, you know, movies like Wizard of Oz, like principles like heart or courage were all, you know, personified
yes.
things inside of us. And so
and
I
it's
love
all within
movies.
You.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think there's no better movie in the history ever that really bottom lines what life's about. It's all within you. We just need to get quiet and get all the answers. It's not the external. It's great to have relationships. It's great to have exterior experiences. But I think that's the cherry on top of the cupcake. I think that it's all within us, and it's all the wisdom and the understanding, the belief of love within us we have for ourselves, and then we could share that with others versus finding it in external places. So that's what's so amazing, the multiple layers of brilliance in that movie that has transformed our society in so many ways. It may not have transformed everybody, but if somebody gets that message and they transform their life, that heals the world. And it starts with one and expands and expands and expands.
It's so glorious. And Aidan, how do people work with you? I mean, you work all over the world. I know, I'm reading your bio and I'm like, Wow. As I go from paragraph to paragraph and page to page, I mean, you've worked, you know, with like princes and I mean, there's so top celebrities around the world, and there is nobody really that you haven't been able to help get to the next level of their heart or their success or their consciousness or their strength. And so I know people are listening to this show and they're like, I want that. How do they find you?
Well, I connect with everybody. You know, I say in Hollywood, I work with a lot of Hollywood people, and it's fascinating because if we can heal people in Hollywood, then they go to work, whether they're a writer, a producer, a director, or an actor, or studio executive, and if they heal themselves, they want to do good for the world. And so it actually helps transform. You know, they say Los Angeles, where I am based, they say it's the throat chakra of the planet, meaning whatever is said here spreads to the entire planet. And so I work with people from, you know, the Academy Award winner down to the young actress straight off the bus from Oklahoma, and everyone in between, and everyone from every walks of life around the world. I do lots of Skype work with people, as well as in person work and telephone work, and where it's, you know, everybody has the same issues. It's just different zeros, different price points, different names on doors and business cards. It's not that the power player billionaire is any different than that young girl straight off the bus that wants to follow their dream. It's all the same. We're all learning about love, how to give and receive it better, and how to receive it within ourselves and how to give it better. And so for me, it's about tuning in. People are welcome to go to my website, which is aidenchase.com, AIDENCHASE.com. And you can call me up and we could do a session via phone or Skype or in person. And I love doing that. And it's not just about the power people, because someone who seems like the most meek, the most small, can actually be the most powerful person to create transformations on the planet just from healing themselves or just by putting their wishes and dreams forward. And so I think everybody's equal with it, and it takes, you know, the power play person and the person who isn't and everyone in between, and I love working with everybody.
Well, definitely. I mean, I've worked with you personally, and I know for me it was one of the most extraordinary experiences. I was so
and fun too, right?
By your, oh my gosh, it's so much fun. It's absolutely so much fun. And just the information And the ahas, I felt like I was living in a cartoon world where you have the little bubbles there. You go, aha.
Right.
We've had those conversations above your head. And just the ease and the humor and the brilliance and the support and the way that you share the information.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Not only the fact that you receive it, but the way that you share it is so seamlessly beautiful. And it's one of the most incredible feelings. You're just feeling like you're being wrapped by the universe in love and awareness.
Exactly. I kind of say I'm an ambassador for the universe and the information, and I bring it through. But I also bring it through with my perspective of being a person here. You know, they say being an intuitive or psychic is what you receive for someone, you're also receiving for yourself. And so all the thousands, I suppose, of people I've seen, is I bring that information through me for them as well and for me. And that's the oneness part, that we all can learn from each other. We can all learn from all those experiences. That's why I love to do group events. I love to do speaking engagements. I love to do even small group events of 20 people, and where we can all hear each other. We can all tune in with each other and experience that oneness together. But at the same time, individual appointments are super fun because I back out of the way. I don't judge the information. I just let it come forth. And I try to make it as fun as possible and focuses on the beautiful future we want to create for ourselves more than the dark things that have potential to happen because we're not taking care of ourselves or not learning or growing. My thing is, let's illuminate the bright things that then can illuminate the things that aren't of the highest light.
Just absolutely genius. I mean, truly, 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 absolutely genius. I love all of
this. And I would say it feels good. I feel pumped up and excited after, because you're in that complete oneness state with the universe and that pure love, and it flows and it channels through, and it feels spectacular every time. And so I'm always boosted up every time, so I love doing it.
I love the fact that you said when I was, you know, working with you, that even that morning you were receiving information. Just once you open that door, what comes pouring in and the information.
Usually when
receiving.
I'm in the shower, you know, anytime we're in water, we have our own abilities to be more in tune to our intuition and psychic. And so that usually when I'm starting my day, they'll all show up in the shower for whoever's I have an appointment with. And then I'll say, okay, you're for this and you're for this. And they're just so excited to connect with us here on the planet. And we have such few opportunities to really connect. I think we can do it for ourselves. We can learn how to do it, and I encourage everyone to do that. But when we have an opportunity, whether you see me or anybody else that has the ability to tune in, is they're so excited for the opportunity to connect. And when we open that door, it's like, I have some passed on relatives or a spirit guide that wants to talk to you, and when they give permission, the information comes through. And their whole goal is to make our lives more bountiful, more happy, more prosperous, more joyful, and that we don't have to learn through drama and trauma and pain like we used to. The planet's not that heavy anymore. We all need to lighten up. We all don't need to, you know, over-obsess and criticize and come to those places. We just need to move to a more lighten-up place where we do our work, we do our job, we do it out of love and compassion for ourselves and others. And that's what these spirit guides, that's what angels, these passed-on relatives, that's what they all want us to hear.
I could just talk to you for all day. And when you talk about water being a conduit, and I think this is really important for people to understand that there are conduits. I remember, you know, when I was working with you, you also have products. You have like sprays or bath salts or bracelets or things that actually can help open those doorways
to
that
energy.
It's
about helping you to build.
Yes.
It's helping you to build that muscle. Your own muscle. Like, I just use my intuition all day long so I can lift really heavy things or bring through really specific, powerful bits of information really clearly. Where someone else who hasn't done it might get kind of vague blips. So it's about building the muscle. So I've created several lines of transformational products, including aromatherapy sprays that can calm our energy, that can boost our intuition, that can bring joy into our lives. And I've used kind of ancient technologies, back to the old lady in the village with the herbs, where, you know, for thousands of years, people have used sage and cedar for clearing. People have used gardenias to bring joy or roses for love. There's no accident that those themes are around all those plant essences from all over the planet in all societies. It's because it's a time-tested, time-tested and truthful way to connect. So I have a line called Energy Alchemy Aromatherapy Myths, and there's four different ones to tune in and have, you know, clear room, expand your space, have more information come through, more intuition. And then I have an amazing new e-commerce site. It's called Wizardly.com. Wizardly.com, by definition. Wizardly means, by definition, astonishingly remarkable. And so what I'm doing is curating the best well-being products from all over the world that lift your spirit, that make life more joyful, that are time-tested based on my wisdom and information and all my guides and angels. And so we're collecting a bunch of products. So I love, we have a soft launch. We're going to be opening officially in a few weeks. So everyone's welcome to check out. We have a few products on there, including my amazing Wizardly bracelets, which are semi-precious stones and precious stones with a gold bead on them, which is about the living love. It's a 14-karat gold sparkle bead to remind us that love is alive, love can transform anything. And I thought having a bracelet line where people can wear different ones, from tiger eye to rose quartz to sapphires, all sorts of different ones, where it reminds us of each individual intention. So, for instance, rose quartz is to open your heart and attract love. And by wearing it on your wrist as a bracelet, we start remembering it. We start infusing moments in our lives that are more about that. And it's to remind us that love heals all, conquers all, solves all, and protects all. And so that's my new line. It even has a shield, our logo shield, of Archangel Michael, which I call the CEO of all angels. I say, why not go straight to the top? And so there's a wonderful protective shield that most cultures on our planet believe in, an energy field that it's been called Archangel Michael. It's kind of more than religion. All cultures believe in this kind of strong, masculine, angelic figure that can help rescue and protect and bring guidance. And so that, I wanted that to be the logo of our company, to know that angels are with us, angels can protect us, and they can help guide our way on.
That's great. And then you had a necklace that, you know, I wrote a letter to Santa, dear Santa, I've been good. And I was so drawn to this necklace. And so do the necklaces work the same way?
Same way. It's all about intention. And at the same time, so I believe you're talking about the Archangel Michael protection necklace. It also brings prosperity. It's a beautiful golden necklace. And what's great about it is it holds the energy, just like a cross does, a Star of David, Buddha symbols. Those symbols hold an energy field. I always say, if you have like a bump in the night, put a big cross by your bed. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish or any religion. Spirit understands the power of symbols. Acknowledge it or move on. So what's really cool about it is we can use symbols, we can use stones, and use their ancient energy. For instance, sapphires have always been a royal stone. You know, they would say that most royalty from all over the planet, from China to England, believe that sapphires help them to keep their position. That it's not that people will bow down to them, but will help raise them up and keep them in that state. So sapphires have been used for centuries as a symbol of wealth and a symbol of enlightened sovereignty, meaning that people will help you rise up to your most beautiful, enlightened, self-sovereign state of your own self-empowered state. So that sapphires, then I hold them and I meditate on them, and I brought in angelic blessings, healing, well-being, good wishes for everybody, that they be prosperous and happy and healthy and whole and all those things. So it's an energy tool, not only in its symbol, but all is it, maybe it's semi-precious stone or gold, but also in the energy that's placed within them. And so it's that triad that really boosts them up and can help people to have more healing in their day, more uplifting in their day, or more transformation.
This is such amazing information, Aiden, and for all of you out there that are writing feverishly saying, sapphires, royalty, okay, he has sprays, there are bracelets, there's... You know, I can work with Aiden from around the world, and this is his website. You can get a copy of today's show. Put your pen down. You can simply send a text message to 55678. Really easy, 55678. And the message is simply Nicole, and a copy of today's show will be downloaded right into your phone or iPad or mobile device, whatever you have, and you can listen to it over and over again, because certainly this information Aiden is sharing is just magical. It is wizardly.
It's so much fun.
And it's such a joy.
And that's the power of Harry Potter, too. It's understanding we can be an energy mover in our own life, and it's to use it for good and for joy and for happiness, and it's all about uplifting each other.
I love wizardly, it being absolutely remarkable. I mean, that to me is just one of the greatest definitions. And as we just have a couple minutes here on the close, is there advice that you would give to our listeners of this show on how to develop relationships within themselves and the other world so they can wrap something in a purple cloth if they want to call upon somebody, or they can call and ask for grandma or for whoever it is that's passed or their loved one, or ask during the day for angels from, you're saying, a parking spot to a meter? And is there one thing that you would say begin here?
It's about getting quiet. It's about centering yourself. There's a lot of talk right now about grounding. What is that ground? Some people call it earthing. It's about being in nature, having your bare feet on the ground, really connecting to our planet. We're in such a technological society right now. A lot of people are actually behaving a bit like zombie robots. And so we need to really come back to an earthly place. Technology is great. We should all still use it. We can experience wondrous things. You know, they said it took 2,000 years for information to double, and then it took 1,000 to double, and 500, and 250, and down, down, down. And since the internet, they say that information is doubling or quadrupling or more every second. And so it's wondrous, beautiful things can help transform the planet for good with that. Healing cures for illnesses, people connecting all of the world. Again, that connection, the global village. But it's really important at the same time for us to receive our own information, to tune in to those spirit guides, pass on relatives, or our own inner wisdom. It's about getting quiet. Whether you meditate, you don't have to meditate for hours or practice. It's as simple as closing your eyes and taking a deep breath, centering your mind however you wish to do it, and breathing and allowing messages to come through. Or you could do yoga, or you could do exercises or swimming, whatever it is for you that gets you quiet, disconnected from technology, disconnected from the stresses in your life, and really about the earth. It's really about the ground is the easiest way. You know, we have acupressure points in the bottom of our feet. The Chinese describe it very, very well. And so that's energetic. So if we're standing on a lawn, we can discharge ourselves of all that extra energy we picked up from electromagnetic devices, cell phones, Wi-Fi, stress, fear, all those things, and we can ground it out of ourselves. And when we ground it out ourselves, we can really hear more, see more, feel more, more of the truth than having to see through all the clutter, all the distraction, all the traffic and stresses. Makes it difficult. It actually is a challenge, which I think is a beautiful challenge, for us to get quiet within ourselves that we can not hear, not experience all those distractions, so we can pull through the breath, through our mind, through our own intuition, which is in our belly button, that we can bring through our own guidance, roadmap, love, all of that within ourselves. And then we can share Aiden, it with others.
Aiden, that's perfect. Thank you so much. What a
My
wonderful
pleasure.
Way to wrap
so
up the
fun.
Show. And it is always such a joy having you on the show. And as we talk about light and love and the happily ever after, we certainly love you and look forward to having you back on. And
oh, right back at you. What
a
wonderful, wonderful things you're doing and wonderful shows.
And such a gift. Well, thank you so much. So, wow, what an amazing, amazing guest. So, this is Nicole Brandon and Aiden Chase on Hourglass Bride wishing you a happily ever after. May all your wishes and dreams come true. And don't forget to join us tomorrow night on the DKRN.FM network for our new show, Passionate Living. Wishing you all the joy and happiness in the world. And again, grand thanks to Aiden Chase.